preached. Is that okay to do that? If you're like me, standing up is a big thing to do. It is so good to be here at Florence Boulevard. You just don't know how much Lynn and I appreciate this congregation. We were here in the late 60s and early 70s, able to grow in the faith here. We sing your praises wherever we go, and we want you to know that. This church has a great history in the past. It has a great future, too, and things look good for you. And so what you need to do is to realize that God's on your side and just go right on ahead and smile. It makes people wonder what you've been up to if you smile at them. Did you know that? But Lynn and I learned more about a Bible school program here than we did at IBC Heritage or any other place. And we established a lot of the programs here because we saw them. We saw them working. And they worked real well in many congregations. Some they didn't work in. You know, you have to have things according to the congregation there and what's going on in it. But we really cannot overexpress how much we appreciate you and appreciate what you have done and what you are doing and how you're growing in the faith. How wonderful that is that we can do that. Some of you I know real well, but I'm telling you, you're getting old. Did you know that? Some of you are getting old. I'm glad I'm not. I went in, I'd had heart surgery, and I went in one day and I went to the bathroom, and then I went in and told Linda, I said, Linda, you got to get that picture out of the bathroom. That's the ugliest old man I've ever seen in my life in there. Why did you buy that? She said, it's a mirror. I said, oh. So you have to be careful about that. But I appreciate you, and we just had to let you know about that and know how much we appreciate that. And as you grow in the faith, and as all of us grow in the faith. The passage that was read in your hearing while ago, Hebrews, was a passage that was written to try to help people who were falling away. Some of them were giving up the faith. Some of them were walking away from Christianity. Some of them were they were going back to Judaism. They were going back to idolatry. Or they were just going, and they quit. And so the Hebrew writer wrote a letter there to the people, to all of them, to try to encourage them to remain faithful. And he wanted them to know that. He started out in the first chapter trying to say that, listen, Jesus Christ is greater than any angel. He's greater than Moses. In the second chapter, he's greater than all the prophets. He's greater than anybody else. He wanted those people to know the one you're serving is greater than all these that you may think you're going to serve. He was trying to encourage them to come back to the faith and not to give up and not to quit. We need that sometimes, don't we? Let's just be honest about it. We need encouragement sometimes. We need to be lifted up. And that's what he's trying to do. That's what he's trying to help these people see. That's what he wants us to see today. Jesus Christ came to this earth with really just one thing in mind. And that was to introduce us to God. To help us to see the God of the Word. To see the God that people served. Some of those people had the idea that God was a very cruel one. Can you remember when they would approach God and someone would say, if you see God, you're going to die. And when they bowed before God, when God spoke, they would get on their knees and try to take their forehead and touch their knees with it because they were afraid of Him. When He spoke, mountains would rumble. The world would seem like it was going to end. And I can understand why they were scared. But Jesus Christ came to introduce us to a God of compassion and love and concern. And He did that. He came and He took on humanity, not because He needed to know us, but because we needed to know Him. We needed to know who God really was. Do you remember on one occasion the disciples asked Jesus, show us the Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen me and the way I live and what I teach and how I do, then you have seen God. They missed that. But that was the important thing that they needed to know more than anything else. They had to know that. In John 1 and verse 1, it said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's Genesis 1. But look at John 1. That's the same thing. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John was trying to say, this one that came to you, He is God to you. He is God come down to this earth for you to see God. You see, we're very visual in our minds. We want to see things. And so God sent Jesus Christ. He said, this is who I am. Remember when Jesus was willing to say to the disciples, after He took a little child and put it on His knee, and He said, this is the kingdom of God. Not just little children, but their attitude, their love, their compassion, their concern. He said, this is what you need to be. This is what we need to be. Little children are generally obedient. I've seen some that weren't, but most of them are, aren't they? If they've been trained properly. And they love their parents and they care for them. We love our God and we care for Him. And we want to please Him. We want Him to be happy. Now, the Jews at this time needed to see God. They needed to know who He was because, you see, they were walking away from Him. And they were walking away to destruction. They were walking away to have a soul that was lost. And what they needed to know was this God loved them. Paul talked about it in Ephesians 2 and verse 4, where he talked about the love that God has for us, the love that we need to have for God. That's what He wanted us to have. Jesus Christ took on humanity so we could really see God. And He did that. He showed us God. In Philippians 2, verses 6 through 8, listen to this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. What He's saying here, and as you know, He's saying here, Jesus Christ had this mind that He was willing to give up all of heaven. He was willing to give up this idea of being the one in heaven there. He was willing to give all that up to come down to this earth for you. To take on humanity, to take on a physical body. And to take on that physical body, He was willing to do whatever He needed to come and to help us to see God and to know God. But God made Himself of no reputation. He took the form of a bondservant. And coming in the form of man, and being found in the appearance of man, He humbled Himself. And being obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross. Could you imagine going from all of heaven, and you're there as the Son of God, and then you're going to go down to this earth? Where people are going to spit on you, they're going to crucify you, they're going to talk about you, they're going to insult you, they're going to do all those things to you. But Jesus Christ said, He knew all of that. But He came anyhow. Because He wanted to show us God. He wanted to take us and put us together with God. Two that were opposed to each other because we know our sins. Romans 3 and verse 23, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've got to realize how wonderful it is to serve God. The only way to really understand someone is to have time with them and to be with them. Sometimes we judge people before we even meet them. We look at a person and we make a judgment call. I do that. I try not to, but I do that, don't you? But if it's somebody you know, and somebody may say something about them, you can say, wait a minute, that's not correct. I know that person. I know them. I've been with them. And so we speak up for them. We need to be people who learn to speak up for God. Now we ask the question, why did Jesus take on humanity? In Hebrews, the second chapter, verses 4 through 16, and I'm not going to try to read all of that today. He wanted the people there to understand. He's already made all these things here of Jesus Christ is greater than the angels. He's greater than Moses, greater than the law, greater than the prophets. He's greater than everything else. And then He comes and He helps people to understand the purpose of what He's trying to do. Now, if you go down to verse 14 there, He starts talking there about what Jesus Christ has done for us in taking on flesh. And you see, the Hebrew writer is trying to show these people why Jesus became a human. Why He took on a fleshly body. Why He went through all the things He went through. He's trying to show the people why. And He starts in verse 14. Listen to this. This is why Jesus took on the flesh. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, you and I are flesh and blood. He himself likewise, like us, shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. People have always been afraid to die. People have always been scared. I was riding around with a guy the other day, and he said, "Are you afraid to die?" I said, "No, I should have been dead several times before now." I said, "No." And it's not that I got anything any greater than anybody else, but you see, death doesn't fear anymore. The fear of death was because we are those that are sinners. And if we die that way, we're not going to be with God, and that's part of the fear that we have of death. But if a person is a child of God, if a person understands that after death we're going to be with the Lord, then we don't mind death as bad. We don't have a fear of death. And we can be those people who face death and we don't have to face it with fear. We don't have to face it being afraid because we know what's going to happen after this, because we trust God. We depend upon Him for what He said He was going to do. And so as we trust Him, even though we are flesh, our elder brother took on flesh to come to this earth for us, that He could help us to know the right way to go. He did all that. Secondly, verse 15, and He released those through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now, I hope you're seeing that. What He's saying here is here because of death and because of sin, we are in bondage. And the devil can use that. I don't care how strong you are, you're going to get weak. I don't care how much you know, it's going to vanish away. But here we have a God who was willing to send His Son, and His Son was willing to come to take on flesh that He might help us to understand that that bondage can be removed. And we can look at death and we don't have to fear it. We can look at the grave and it's not there to scare us anymore because we know what's on the other side. And we're living in such a way as we're going to be on the other side. Oh, if we could trust God, if we could depend upon God, how great it would be for all of us. In order that He might be our merciful high priest, He took on flesh. You know, Jesus Christ could not be a high priest on this earth. He wasn't born into the right family. He couldn't do that. But He is our high priest. Our high priest that is in heaven, taking our offerings to the throne of God, not just to a tent, but taking it to the throne of God, taking our prayers, our pleas there, before the throne, before God. He's there for us. Now, listen at verse 17. Therefore, because of all the stuff He said before, in all things He had to be made like His brethren. Why did He have to be made like His brethren? Why did He have to take on flesh? The reason He had to do that is that He might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation, make the payment price for our sins. You see, if He hadn't taken on flesh, would we have salvation? Would we have it as God wants us to have it? Oh, we would have it. It would be ours. And so here, He's taken on this that we might be able to look at Him as one that's offering our prayers to God, our request, and the forgiveness of our sins to God. He knows what it is to be fleshly. He suffered when He was tempted. I had a preacher friend one time, he said, "Do you really think Jesus Christ suffered? Do you really think that He was tempted like we're going to talk about here? Do you really think He went through?" I said, "Yes, it said that. That's what it said." Listen to this passage. "For in that He Himself has suffered, and being tempted, He is able to aid those that are tempted." Did you get that? He was tempted And therefore, he understands the temptations you go through. Listen to what Paul said in 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and verse 4. He said, "For though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but," see, there's a change here, "but we shall live with him by the power of God toward us." Did you catch that? Here's Jesus Christ. He comes. He comes weakness. Remember when he went to the cross there? He went as a lamb before a shearer. He went there as one that the world thought and Satan thought he's defeated. His head was bowed with a crown of thorns. But he came forth from the grave. And listen to this. This passage, I think he's saying, he came forth from the grave because of the power of God. Now, the second part of this is for us. Here we are in weakness. Oh, I'd love never to ever sin again. I'd love to have that just totally out of the way. But I don't know if it'll ever happen, to be honest with you. So in weakness, I come to Jesus. In weakness, I go into a watery grave. And I'm raised up from that, not because of how good I am now, but because of what Jesus Christ is able to do. Because of the power of Jesus Christ. Putting away the filth of the flesh. The answer of a good conscience toward God. We want to do what God wants us to do. We want to follow that. And so we're raised from that watery grave by the power of God. Not because of how good we are. Not because of anything else, but the power of God did that for us. He did the same thing for Jesus Christ. He does the same thing for us in baptism. Jesus Christ was able to be in heaven, so also can we. We have the forgiveness of our sins. These are some of the strongest motives, I think, for us to stay faithful and to continue to serve God and not give up. We need that. I don't care how strong you are. There are times when the old devil creeps in and he questions the way we're living and what we're doing. And we see that. And sometimes we give up. You've seen people give up, haven't you? And you may have thought about it yourself. And maybe you're strong enough that you've never ever thought about it. But there are others that have thought about it. But listen, you've got to understand this God that we have. And what He's doing for us. And what He's done for us. What does Jesus' humanity do for us? What does it do for us? I think that's important. He is able to help us to understand that He knows about our troubles. Hebrews 4 and verse 15, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses." He knows our weaknesses. He knows how weak you really are. He knows how weak I am. He understands that. He understands that pull of temptation. Jesus stood on the pinnacle and there he was told by Satan, "Just cast yourself down. Everything's going to be all right. God said He's going to take care of you." He showed all the kingdoms of the world and said, "You can have them all." What did He say? No. No. Was He tempted? I think He was. That's what it said. But He overcame. How did He do that? Because He had a connection with God. And that connection was so strong and so powerful. I mentioned a while ago that the Jews looked at God as though He was unapproachable. You could not go in the presence of God. You could not be there. And if God were to come around, you got down on the ground and you hid yourself because if you saw Him, you're going to die because of how holy He is. They saw a God that could open up the earth and swallow up thousands of people at one time. They saw a God who thundered from heaven. But look what Jesus did. He came and He showed them a God who loved them and cared for them. Now, certainly, we should have seen it in the Old Testament. But sometimes we don't. Some people have gone so far as they said, you know, there's a God of the Old Testament and a God of the New Testament. Let me tell you something. He's the same one. It's not the God problem. It's our problem not understanding God. Had a friend, he went to a congregation. He said, you people don't know me, but I guarantee you, if you knew me, you'd like me. Let me tell you something. If we know God, the more we know about Him, the more we are going to like Him. Jesus in Matthew 11, verse 28, said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He opened up His arms and said, here I am. Remember the story of the prodigal son? And here's the father that's ready to reach for him. The boy can't even get his confession out without the father hugging him and letting him know that he loves him. That's God. But let me show you the really reason, I mean, really the purpose of that story. The purpose of the story was for the elder brother. The elder brother who had been faithful, who served God and done God's will and obeyed his father. He was standing outside. He wouldn't go in. He was so mad. Look at this father who comes out. And he said, listen, this is your brother. He's back. He was dead. He was over there in that far country. He walked away, but he's come back. Receive him in. You see the God of compassion? Even for those who are so high in their own mind that they can't look down and help those who are in trouble. He's one there that says, you can, and I will. I've already mentioned about Jesus Christ taking the little children and holding those little children up and saying, this is the kingdom of God. People like this, with their attitude, with their life. Jesus was not cold and unloving. Oh, he said some things to some of the religious leaders of that day that they needed to hear. In fact, he was harder on them than he was the sinner. Remember the lady at the well? Been married, what, five times? Living with a fellow that wasn't even her husband? And here's Jesus talking to her. He's offering her a salvation. He's offering her forgiveness. That's God. That's God doing that for us. He taught us what mercy really was. He taught us what grace really was. He taught us what love really is. Because of His humanity, we are attracted to Him. Because of who He is and what He's done. Because of Jesus Christ, we serve God. And that's part of what the Hebrew writer was trying to say. I hope you have a connection with God. I hope you have a relationship with God to where you can go to Him and talk to Him and He's your Father and you've repented of your sins. You turn from that. You've been washed. You've been cleansed. You've been made whole. I hope that's where you are. I was able to go to Estonia last year. I got to be honest with you. They said, we want you to go to Estonia. I said, where is it? I didn't even know where it was. Now, I want to know where it is so I know how to get back, okay? But I got over there and I met some wonderful people there. Didn't even know where it was. Didn't even know anything about Estonia. But I met some people over there. I'm friends with some of them on Facebook. And I'm concerned about their life, their soul, what's going on with them. And if somebody talks about Estonia now, I kind of get my ear over there just a little bit. I want to hear about it. Because, you see, I've got a connection with those people. Romania, other places I've gone, Florence Boulevard. I've got a connection with those people. I want to know about them. I want to know about the great things in there that's going on for them. I want them to know that I love them and that I appreciate them. Because we've got a relationship. How wonderful it is that we have that. But if we have a relationship with God, how wonderful it is for us to have that. How great it is for us to have that relationship with Jesus Christ, that we can go to Him, that we can make confessions of sins, and we know without a shadow of a doubt that those sins are forgiven, that those things are blotted out, they're remembered no more. We have that. We have that as a promise from God. He said to His disciples after the resurrection, come over here and touch me. Feel these nail prints. He even told them, Hank, give me some food to eat. Now, I missed this for a long time. You know what he's saying there? Not only is the spirit raised, but the body's raised. Not only is that spirit, this is not just the spirit of Jesus Christ that was there. He said this is the physical body that's here. Let me tell you something. We have that promise from God that we will be those people that will be received by God, forgiven of our sins, and our body will be raised one day. I don't know if I understand all that. Don't have to. God will handle that part. He'll handle every bit of it. How wonderful it is that we've got a God who cares for us and wants to help us. He knows our humanity. He knows our sins. He knows the things that we do. Your wife may not know it. Your husband may not know it. Your parents may not know it. Your children may not know it. The elders may not know it. But let me tell you something. God knows every bit of that. It scares people when you tell them that God sees your life. Why? Because we don't trust God. Listen, if you're not a Christian today, the baptistry up here is there. You can believe in God enough to say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You can turn from your sins. You can repent of those sins. And as you do that, and you are immersed in water, those sins are washed and cleansed away, and you're clean and you're pure, and you're prepared then to show God in your life, to show God to the whole world. That's what you're supposed to do. It's not just baptism is it, but it's a life that's lived is it. So if you're not a Christian today, I want to plead with you to become a child of God. This is something that God has said we can do. We are allowed to help you to get rid of your sins. And it's not because we're any better than anybody else. We'll ask you to help us. Why are you waiting? Why are you putting that off? Are you waiting till the time when everything's going to be fine, everything's going to be good, and you're going to know all the Bible? Let me tell you something. It'll never come. It'll never happen. Give God the broken life. Got a song that we sing about that. And He'll make it right. Now, we're here and probably about 95% of us are already Christians. And we're saying, you know, those people need to obey the gospel. But maybe we need to look at our lives and repent of sins and turn from them. Maybe we need to be those people that we consider our souls. It just astounds me. And I understand a little bit of it. Why people will not confess their sins. Maybe it's because we don't want other people to think we're weak. Let me tell you something. If you repent of your sins, I think you're strong. Amen. I'll throw that one in. Y'all didn't do any on that one. I'll get that one myself. He's ready to forgive you. You know Him. You know He loves you. You know He wants to forgive you. Why? Why would you walk away with sin? Somebody's going to find out about it. Let me tell you something. God knows it already. And He's ready to forgive. We sing invitation songs to plead with people to consider their soul. He says you can be selfish for this time. You can think only about you and your life. And as you do that, see sin if it's there. If it's not there, fine and dandy. But if it's there, repent of it. I think the elders here will be here with open arms to help you in any way you can. I think they'll be ready to help you overcome problems and difficulties that you're trying to face. They're just waiting for an opportunity. I plead with you today to think about your life and your soul. Please come right now as we stand and as we sing. Come to me, they will thank you, Lord.
He will make it white as snow. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come today. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come, come today. Come to Jesus. Do not tarry. Enter in at mercy's gate. Oh, delay not till the morrow, lest thy coming be too late. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come today. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come, come today. Come to Jesus, dying sin. No other Savior there is none. He will share with you His glory. Your pilgrimage is done. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come today. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come today.
Be seated, please.